everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola and Mike Prosciutto. Welcome to St. Vincent College Steelers Training Camp 2014. Guys, football weather is in store for us here on the field. A new location for us, a new set, a lot of exciting things to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a beautiful day here in Westmoreland County. You can see the trees on the hills down there, which always indicates the humidity is not that bad. Not a bad day if you had to wear pads. I'm just glad we don't have to.
Yeah, I'm just glad it's starting again, guys. 28th training camp for me here at St. Vincent College. I should have some sort of honorary degree by now. I do not.
But that's almost as long as you went to college for real.
Almost.
28 years.
But that said, I got to channel my inner Marv Levy and ask the question, where would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right. Well, we kind of have planned for you on today's show a six-pack of things that we're excited about that we think will develop over this training camp. And certainly, guys, things to take a look at and to keep an eye on throughout. And of course, the first one that I know we all really want to see is will there be tackling once again like last season? Mike Tomlin started training camp, very high intensity, kind of getting the guys in the mood early, Labs. And do you think that's something we'll see again this season?
Yeah, you know, I kind of do, even though like I tried to do a little recon on it. I even asked Steelers president Art Rooney II, and he said no. Mike hasn't told me anything about it this year, and he didn't tell me anything about it last year either. That was kind of a surprise to just about everyone, not only the players and the coaches, but also Kevin Colbert and Art Rooney II. You know, I think we'll see it again for a couple of reasons. Number one, and really number one, is because nobody got hurt last year. And so I think that, okay, you know, we did this and nobody got hurt. Let's try it again. The other reason I think it'll work is, or it needs to be implemented and it could work to help this team, is a lot of new people, a lot of young people.
Yeah, I certainly hope they do it again. You know,
it's more fun for us.
Injuries are always
selfishly
a concern in the NFL, but you can't get around injuries in the NFL. They are going to occur, and I think to best prepare yourself to play this game, you need to practice tackling. Would you like to be stepping into the guard tackle hole on September the 7th, and here comes Ben Tate of the Browns, and you got to get that guy on the ground, and the last time you did it was last December or whenever the final game was last year. I think it only makes sense to do some tackling, and particularly when you think about how things used to be around here in the Chuck Knoll days. Every training camp started with the fundamentals of the progression of the one-on-one block. It wasn't quite Vince Lombardi telling the Packers, gentlemen, this is a football. But it was pretty close to starting from square one. And there's still enough time up here to start from square one and work ahead.
You know, beyond the guard tackle gap that you referenced in terms of the defense, I would like to see the offensive line and the running backs do a little full speed as well, and maybe get that part of the Steelers game in more sync and more of a rhythm, certainly at the start of this regular season than it was last year.
All right, let's move on to number two, to huddle or not to huddle. And what we're talking about with this one, not so much how much will the Steelers lose it next season, but during training camp, will Ben get in sync with the wide receivers? Guys, there's new wide receivers. There's also some young guys. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. And this is what Ben said during mini camp about that.
I think a lot of it's going to determine, how much can the new guys and the young guys learn. We lost two starting wide receivers, that knew the offense and knew the no huddle real well. So for us to use it, we're going to need the young guys and the new guys to pick it up quick.
All right, guys, Ben kind of laid it out. It's going to depend on how quick guys are picking it up and how it kind of works. It's nice to say, yes, we'd like to go back to the end of last season, how it was working, but new group of guys, got to get the playbook in and see what works.
New group of guys, but one of those guys is Lance Moore, a veteran guy, and he kind of blew everybody's doors off in the OTAs and the off-season stuff just by being the professional that he has apparently been down in New Orleans. I think he's up to speed. I think Marcus Wheaton was here all year last year, didn't play a ton, but he's been around. He should know it. Antonio Brown, I think, has a pretty good idea what to do. Le'Veon Bell, you might see some other guys like Garrett Blunt, Dree Archer involved in that. But I think they've already kind of turned the corner in terms of guys knowing it or not knowing it being a factor in how much they do it.
But let me throw this in, from part, the first thing we talked about, the hitting. You know, in my opinion, no position on a football team changes more from OTAs to training camp than wide receiver. You know, you spend 3 or 4 months as a wide receiver running around the field impervious. I mean, nobody's going to hit you. You go over the middle, you jump high. Doesn't really matter. Put the pads on, and now things change a little bit. So, you know, whether you know it or not, in OTAs, I think you might have to relearn it a little bit once the threat of violence is introduced. So that's why I'm all for the tackling, and it'll help the coordination of the receivers and the quarterbacks as well, I think.
Okay, let's move on to number three. This, of course, would be the Buffalo Bills coming here to St. Vincent College for 2 joint practices during training camp. Guys, this is the first time since the 1990s when the Steelers did this with the Redskins. Like the live tackling, this is something that's also exciting. It's something other than just your team, for the fans, for us, and probably for the players too, Labs.
Yeah, and I really think that this is going to be the way things evolve for NFL teams in training camps. You know, with the new rules, you can't practice twice a day. You can only wear pads once a day. Your opportunities are extremely limited in terms of the exposure that coaches have to their players and the exposure coaches have to their players with pads on. And so I think you need to kind of condense things and almost fast track it a little bit. And you only have 90 players on your own roster, and you don't want to beat yourself up too much. So practicing against another team, I think, alleviates that wear and tear on some of your bodies, but it also injects a level of competitiveness into these practices that you cannot get, I don't think, just practicing against yourself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And again, it's all part of the dress rehearsal concept, like the tackling. You're going to have to play other people. You're going to have to answer some challenges individually and collectively. There's going to be circumstances, stakes, ramifications for success and failure. Why not start brushing up on that now? I really like the idea of doing it, and I really, really like the idea of doing it here instead of Edinburgh. So we don't have to trek up to Edinburgh and practice against Buffalo.
You mean like next summer we'll have to go to St. John
well,
College?
Well, I'm worried about the campus
right now.
Lab. I don't like to look too far ahead.
All right, let's keep moving on. And obviously one of the things that I think everybody, especially with this rookie class, wants to see is the development of those guys. I think it's fair to say it was the spring of Shazier. So much hype about him, how he was fitting in and running with the first team. So now we get a chance to see something different, especially here and with the pads.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always interesting when you come to training camp to see how, you know, that year's rookie class develops. Okay, but this year, the Steelers need this rookie class to contribute right away. And so this development is even more interesting, more critical. And it might be the summer of Ryan Shazier. Certainly, he is a guy who is going to have to play and just do more than just occupy a position at inside linebacker. He needs to make plays that contribute to some wins. But there are other guys too. You know, Dree Archer is a guy that the Steelers need him to fill a role on offense. Stephon Tuitt, we'll see. But also you have Martavis Bryant, I think, is a guy that they would like to see contribute some as a rookie. And who knows, maybe even Daniel McCullers a little bit on the defensive line.
Yeah, he's a maybe. Archer would probably be a guy that would be something of a bonus. I'm not sure how much they're going to get out of him in his first year. But they made it pretty obvious, at least Dick LeBeau did, when they drafted Ryan Shazier and then Stephon Tuitt. And LeBeau said words to the effect that these two guys, if they don't start, they're going to play a lot. I think a significant philosophical page has been turned after 2-8-8 seasons, and it's time to get the best players on the field, not the guys who maybe know the playbook the best.
Well, I think that it's not so much a philosophical difference. You know, the guys who play best this year are probably going to be the young guys. In the recent past, the guys who played best were Aaron Smith and Casey Hampton and James Ferrier and those older guys. And so, you know, you could afford to have that philosophy and make it kind of a hard-edged philosophy. The Steelers don't have those guys anymore. This roster is turned over. These guys coming in are their best options now, and that's why I think that they're going to play a lot.
All right, number 5, we talked about the rookies and their development. Then we also will have the new guys and their development. And we're not just talking about the free agent signings, guys, the Mike Mitchells, the LeGarrette Blunts, also people who will kind of be new to this whole starting thing. You know, we can add Jarvis Jones, Jason Worlds, and guys like that into this picture
as
well.
Yeah, Cameron Hayward. You know, these are guys, you know, when I did a quick look at the Steelers' supposed starting 11, their probable starting 11 on defense. And to me, you have eight players who are either new or new to the situation. And the only three who are kind of veterans coming back into positions and roles that they served for this team in the past are Troy Polamalu, Ike Taylor, and Lawrence Timmons. Everyone else is either new to this team or coming into a situation like Cam Hayward, Jarvis Jones, new starters, even Jason Worlds. He's a new starter on the left side. So there's a lot of coordination that has to go on, some team building that has to take place, and it's not just the rookies.
What better place than Latrobe, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and some production is going to have to take place as well. And you talk about Le'Veon Bell, a guy who's two-thirds of an NFL season under his belt. It was impressive, but it was two-thirds of a season. He and LeGarrette Blount have to give this team a revitalized running game. And you mentioned Worlds and Jarvis Jones, Bob. We used to come up here every year, and the outside linebackers had double-digit sacks, both of them, and that was a given. Not anymore. If you want to boil down to maybe the two most important things that have to take place here, they have to develop a running game and they have to develop an outside pass rush.
Speaking of outside linebackers, backs on backers, anybody?
I'm in.
Yeah, you too. Let's go. I'll blow the whistle. All right, moving on to our last one of the six-pack. That, of course, would be the new coaches. I think we all know how we feel about Coach Peasy coming back, adding a little attitude to that linebacker core. Of course, Mike Munchak and James Saxon. A lot of good stuff that can be happening, and now three former head coaches on the coaching staff.
The Raiders are spying on us. Yeah, Mike Munchak in particular. We have talked a lot about Joey Porter, and justifiably so, but Mike Munchak, Lav, is the godfather of the outside zone a stretch when I'm talking about Mike Munchak?
Probably not.
Is he the guy in the right place at the right time to take these players that the Steelers have been collecting and get that system up and running the way they tried to get it up and running last year before it got torpedoed eight plays into the season? That's a perfect fit for Le'Veon Bell. That's maybe where the big plays come from that are produced by Le'Veon Bell. That gets your running game going. And somebody just said a few – yeah, it was me. If they don't get the running game going, the rest of it is not impervious, Bob, but it might be superfluous. How's that?
Wow, wait here. Let me look that up. But I think Mike Munchak and James Saxon, let's not forget him. Their additions to this offensive staff. I mean, Todd Haley was talking about this to me during the offseason about how refreshing it was to have everyone kind of on the same page and believing the same things about how to get things done. And, you know, I don't think that can be underrated. And, you know, I'm looking for a lot more harmony, not in the sense that guys are fighting or anything, but when everyone believes the same thing and believes that it can be taught the same way and is looking for results to come the same way, I think you just are able to build a more singleness of purpose maybe than the Steelers have had on offense here the past few seasons. And again, Mike, you know, you and I have talked about this all the time. This offense, we have believed this now for a few seasons now, can be a weapon, can be a dominant unit in this league where you win games with your offense either by outscoring a team or just controlling the ball and the clock and everything about the game. The Steelers have not been able to do that offensively. We know they have the quarterback who is capable of it. Now maybe they have some of the other pieces and the philosophy in place
as
well.
I think they have the mindset as well. It's not just you and I that have been talking about that. I spoke with Heath Miller about that this spring, and he said he can't remember. They have not put a season together in a long time, and they've shown games here and there. They've shown months here and there. The second half last year was majestic, right? The first half, not so much. So some consistency, and whether that's eating the clock and controlling the ball or just putting up 35, whatever it takes, you might say. Lots riding on this offense's ability to maximize what I think we both believe it can become.
All right, well, that is our six-pack, things we're excited for and what we'll be looking for at training camp this year. We did.
Throw them around.
We're starting too high. But players do have to report tomorrow by 4 p.m. That is when the conditioning test will be taking place down here on this field. Are you guys going to join them?
My conditioning test was walking down the hill to this desk.
Of course, Coach Tomlin will be speaking after that. We'll be carrying it live here on Steelers.com. And don't forget, every day that there is practice, we'll be joining you at 5 p.m. Eastern for a special edition of Steelers.com Live here from St. Vincent College.
Let's
I think that's it.
Yep.
You guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right. For Bob and Mike and Missy, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you soon.